So let's just pray to begin. God, I give this time to you, and I just pray for your Holy Spirit to pour out your presence and grace, that this could be a safe place, and that we could worship you and you could get much honor and glory. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So I'll let you inside my brain a little. As I sat down to prepare for this devotional, I was thinking of all the things I'm grateful for. And, and I made, kind of was thinking through some of these things that provide physical comfort. I'm very thankful for air conditioning these days, as you all probably are as well. And I was, I'm grateful for a lot of my possessions. It sounds kind of materialistic, but grateful for a place to live and a vehicle to drive to get around and enough food and a good bed and these things. And but then, of course, more than that, I'm so much more grateful for the relationships that I have with, obviously, my wife and my son, and then my family, my mom and my dad, and also my wife's family, and then, of course, you all. So grateful for all these things. But it was crazy how just within minutes of thinking of these things, I started having thoughts of shame and negativity because I regret that I spend time with material things or things that aren't my family or, my parents and my church brothers. It's like, it was like 2 seconds into this thinking of what I'm grateful for, I was thinking of the ways I've failed the people I'm grateful for, and maybe the ways that I failed God in that. And it got me thinking, so if you're like me, you can get stuck, or you can get, almost like from any situation, you can get into negative thoughts, or into thoughts of shame. And so I want us to spend some time with that this morning, on shame, and what do we do with it? And then I also want us to be able to get somewhere with it and work on it with each other a little. So whether it's just replaying little things you wish you had done differently or said differently, or maybe it's big things that happened years ago, but it feels really hard to move past, shame can really paralyze us and cripple us. And then sometimes, at least I, do things to distract and numb out that shame or those feelings. And then I get into a nice little cycle because you feel bad, so you try to do something to forget it, and then you feel bad for doing that, and then you just, it kind of gets down and down a little spiral, and before you know it, we're just in negative thoughts, and we're not living life more abundantly. Sometimes we even use good things as distractions. And I have a little example of that in my life that I'll talk about a little bit later. But let's get to scripture. At least there's so much scripture on this. So we're going to scratch the surface and then go from there. What do we do with shame? So the Bible says to confess it. And there's all these promises of what happens when we do confess it. And then there's also all these promises of our identity in Christ and in God when we claim them and when we believe. So shame says, could God really love you after what you've done? And scripture says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Shame says, you'll never really be good enough. And scripture says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Shame says, you are a bad person. Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Shame says, there's no use in trying. You'll always be this way. And Scripture says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Sometimes shame takes an even more sinister tone and says, you're worthless. Maybe it would be better if you weren't even born. Scripture says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So there's a fraction of what Scripture has to say to shame. And we know these things up here, but do we know them down here? And I think that's something that I struggle with, and I think it's a kind of a lifelong struggle. I've been in integrity groups, and those are times when God uses your brothers to get it from here to here through empathy and other means. And so I think that's part of how God gets it from here to here is through each other. Shame and negative thoughts thrive on secrecy, so if we are able to open up to someone and receive empathy and care, its power is broken. I came across this phrase when studying. Shame is broken when it's spoken. I wasn't able to find who said that, but I think it's kind of a nice little succinct summary. And this is, you know, confirmed by Scripture. And then just for an example, I'll confess something that sometimes this is something that happens to me sometimes. I'll do something that needs to be done. It's on my list. And while I'm finishing up or after I've gotten done, I'll remember something else that I probably should have done that was probably a little more important. And then I'll chide myself for not prioritizing better and for having a bad memory and so on, etc. And I see the smiles. It sounds almost silly once you say it out loud, right? There's no point in going through that. But when I say it, I see how it sounds, and I see, like, almost right away, it has no power anymore. But internally, if I'm not saying that kind of thing, if I'm not getting it out, my brain can get away with it, and if it goes unchecked like that. So I'd like to just pull out James 5:16 and let that model the rest of the time we have here. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So I invite you to share with your neighbor whatever feels pertinent or appropriate, if it's shame or negative thoughts or more generally just circumstances you're facing. And then if applicable, pray these scriptures for each other or pray other scriptures and claim these promises. I'm kind of envisioning maybe putting into practice a little bit of what Arlen shared with us 2 weeks ago and what John shared last week, this idea of, hey, God, you promised this. and so that's what I'm envisioning. And then to conclude that time, Eric will lead us in Father, in thy mysterious presence, kneeling. And I just like if we could sing that as a prayer for each other to conclude this time. So go ahead. If you need a little time, it's okay to be silent for a second, but share with your neighbor in twos and pray for each other.